This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to episode 63 of my podcast AppForce One. My name is Jeroen Lengnes, and I've been developing software for a long time. Also been developing iOS apps for 9 years. The Dutch CoCats is also a thing that I'm working on. This episode, I'm going to talk about a number of things. Swift Playgrounds 4, building a text-to-speech app entirely on iPad. Swift computer properties can be tuples. Workaround Xcode and continuous integration issues on Apple Silicon. Some thoughts on Xcode Cloud. Public key cryptography with CryptoKit for iOS. MetricKit getting started. The future of server-side Swift. And of course, Donny's Monday morning tweet. There will also be a number of conferences I'd like to mention. So that's a lot of stuff. So let's get started. Hi, and welcome to the new year in 2022. First week of the year for me was a lot of catching up on email and just getting the backlog of all the information out of the way. So it was already a busy week. On top of that, I was able to do my first edit on Final Cut Pro on a conference talk that a colleague of mine is giving at iOSConf SG. That's a Singaporean-based conference that's happening at the end of January. So that's around the 20th and 21st. Link in the show notes. Check it out. It's an awesome conference. And yeah, it was very nice just doing something new, something I haven't done before, editing a video. But also on top of that, I had to set up a green screen, learn about lighting and making sure that I was able to get a good result. And the feedback that I've been getting from people has been very positive. Vincent, thank you for your mention that it looks so great. And yeah, it's just fun to just do something new again. And next to that, my kids, they're finally allowed to go back to school again, especially my youngest, Milan. He really loved that he is able to go to school again. And his first day, he really loved it. And he wasn't even tired at the end of the day. So that's going to be interesting how he will be at the end of the week. But it's good that he's able to go. Still in lockdown here in the Netherlands, except for the primary schools. So there's not a lot of stuff that you can do here in your spare time. But we as a family are getting through things. My wife and I both had our booster shots. Both had a bit of a bad day afterwards. But yeah, just doing our part. And yeah, hopefully we're not end up in the situation that we had to get one of these shots like every half year. Things are progressing. My daughter started in her new gymnastics group. She's really loving the new kids that she's able to train with, still outside because of corona restrictions, but soon, hopefully, she's able to start doing her gymnastics training inside, and she's having 3 trainings every week. I'm looking forward to how she likes training so much every week, and if she's still enthusiastic about that a couple months from now. It's her choice. She wants to do it, and I'm only there to support her in what she'd likes to do and what she wants to develop herself into as a small kid. So yeah, things are looking up here a bit in the Netherlands. It's been a couple of nice days as well. Some rain, but also a lot of sunshine. It's getting a bit colder here, but yeah, hopefully by the time spring comes around, we can actually go to conferences. Speaking about conferences, I will be attending iOSConf SG, that's a virtual conference. I will be attending Swift Heroes, that's hopefully an in-person conference in Italy. And but if things are allowed by the world circumstances, I will also be attending the 360 iDev in Denver this year. I'm still looking into a couple more conferences to go to maybe even speak at. But already 3 conferences scheduled. I think I'm getting started with my yearly goal of doing more conferences in the right way. So who knows? If you know any conferences that are great to attend, especially if they're focused on iOS development, let me know. I would love to mention them in my episodes. I already am looking at conferences like Swift Leads, maybe Do iOS. There's also App DevCon happening sometime this year. Don't know yet. There's not much detail yet, but yeah, who knows? If there's a new conference, just let me know, and I'd love to shout out on them in my podcast. So back to the content of this week. The first article, Swift Playgrounds 4, building a text-to-speech app entirely on iPad. In this article by Simon, in WWDC 21, one of the announcements that caught his attention was the massive change to Swift Playgrounds. Not only can you learn Swift using Playgrounds, this new update allows developers to create apps entirely on iPad and submit them to the App Store directly. And recently, an Xcode update came through with this promise by Apple. Swift Playgrounds is a great way to learn to code right on a Mac or iPad with Swift Playgrounds 4. That's now available. Users will be able to create the visual design of an app with Swift UI. App projects can be opened and edited in Swift Playgrounds or in Xcode. And when they're ready, users can build a real app and submit it directly to the App Store right from their iPad. Simon, of course, has been waiting for this release for a couple months, and a couple of weeks ago, Apple finally released Swift Playgrounds 4, allowing us to build both iPhone and iPad apps right on the iPad. If you already own a Mac, you may be wondering why it's such a huge step for Apple to bring iOS app development to iPad. Other than publishing online courses and ebooks, Simon also organizes various in-person workshops for absolute beginners to experience iOS app development. And one of the most common questions that Simon gets is, can I write code and develop apps on iPad because I don't have a Mac? In the past, this answer was obviously no. But now, with version 4, with the release of Swift Playgrounds, beginners can start learning Swift and Swift UI without a Mac. And that's, in my book, that's actually something that is really huge because the iPad is such a generally available device. People can now really get a taste of software development with the things they already have available at home. So then the barrier of entry is again lowered a little bit. And a lower barrier of entry into software development is a great thing because there's still plenty of room for more people to do software development. So I hope a lot of people are able to make a career switch in 2022. So in his article, Simon takes a look at Swift Playgrounds 4 and sees how you can develop a simple text-to-speech app on iPad. He goes through the steps, through the motions on how you can create a project, how you write some code, how you can do some user interface layout, and how you can implement the text-to-speech feature. Of course, you need to add some images as well to make things look right, and then running the app and showing how you can actually use it. So it's a quick overview of what Swift Playgrounds can do for you. If you just want to get a taste of if it's something you should investigate, look at this article by Simon. The next article is by Chris Wu. Swift computer properties can be tuples. Chris Wu recently discovered that computer properties can be tuples, and Chris actually didn't know this. I didn't know this either myself. So in his article, Chris describes what tuples in Swift actually are and how you can use tuples in computer properties. It's a nice, fun overview, short read, lots of code. It actually works with Xcode autocomplete as well. And Chris thinks that using tuples like everywhere is not the best thing that you can do, but it's a nice tool that you should be aware of in your tool chest of language features available in Swift. The next article, or actually two articles, are about Xcode and continuous integration. Basically two flavors. The first one article that I wanted to mention is working around Xcode and continuous integration issues on Apple Silicon. This is an article by Mark Torman. Like probably a lot of people, we all jumped in and bought some new Apple Silicon M1 Mac Minis to replace a couple of Intel-based build servers. So the old servers were running Jenkins with a pretty standard configuration to build and test your iOS apps. The initial transition was pretty straightforward. Install Homebrew, Xcode, and all the other tools that you need. Copy the Jenkins configuration and all the plugins to the new machine and start working. The initial setup and testing was pretty smooth, and the performance was amazing compared to the Intel Macs, almost twice as fast. But then you run into the situation that some of your dependencies or some of the tools that you're running are compiled for Intel Macs. And since you're running an Apple Silicon based Mac, you cannot execute this binary anymore. So you get these could not find module for target errors. It found ARM64, ARM64 Apple iOS simulator, but not the Apple Silicon slice in the binary. So in his article, Mark describes what he needed to do to get their entire build from an Intel based workflow onto an Apple Silicon based workflow. There are some fixes and some changes that he needed to do here and there, some updated tools that he needed to run, and even use Rosetta for a few issues. So the conclusion is you can get your Apple Silicon based build environment to work with your existing builds, but probably you need to do some tweaking and some fixing here and there. And it was good to read that Mark was able to get through all the issues and able to transfer the build to his new hardware. The second article on Xcode builds is by Oliver Binns. Some thoughts on Xcode Cloud. Apple has acquired BodyBuild back in 2018, and there's been a lot of speculation on what Apple was planning to do with the tools and technology and the team that they acquired when they bought out BodyBuild. Were they going to be providing automated build infrastructure or tooling as a part of their offering to developers? And indeed, Apple released Xcode Cloud, and it promises an easy setup, secure automated workflow for your apps, heavily integrated with Xcode and App Store Connect. But does it meet these promises? In his article, Oliver attempts to build a pipeline similar to the one that he's been previously using before, and to find out if the demo pipeline in the repository for his open source project London Underground Widgets can be transferred to Xcode Cloud. So he goes over the steps that he needed to take to get his existing project into Xcode Cloud, and he goes over all the different aspects of his build infrastructure that he was using without Xcode Cloud, and he was successful. He thinks that Xcode Cloud is probably going to work great for you if you're new to automation and you don't have a CI/CD workflow set up for your project yet. Depending on the pricing, Oliver is happy to continue using Xcode Cloud for his standalone side projects. However, he thinks there's an exception. For himself, it's not quite compelling enough to invest time in switching over from an existing pipeline to another provider. Oliver likes to see some additions to the pre-installed software, like SwiftLint and Fastlane in particular, access to the code in the post-testing step, and support for server-side Swift projects. He has a positive experience with Xcode Cloud and is really looking for people who have similar or different experiences with Xcode Cloud. So reach out to Oliver. You can find him on Twitter at Oliver_bins with double N. And let him know what you think of Xcode Cloud. The next article is by Natasha Fadeva, Public Key Cryptography with CryptoKit for iOS. Public Key Cryptography, also called Asymmetric Cryptography, that's a difficult word, provides fundamental security in today's IT systems and network communications. When it comes to iOS applications, Apple already provides a built-in TLS encryption and digital signing for free when communicating over HTTPS. But when we work with sensitive user data, you might want to add an extra level of security. In the article by Natasha, she shows how you can use public key cryptography and how you can use it in your iOS applications when you have increased security needs. She goes over the basics of what public-private key cryptography is, what are some typical use cases for it, what algorithms are available, and how you can use these features with the CryptoKit API provided by Apple. It's a short read, good stuff in there, so definitely have a read of Natasha's article. And I love it that somebody is actually writing about these CryptoKit APIs that are available in iOS. Then there's an article by Adam Rush, MetricKit, Getting Started. Historically, building an iOS application was always a simple task, a small lightweight application that simply displayed a list of items or made very few network calls. Most of the processing happened server-side and therefore making iOS applications very slim. Because of this reason, collecting metrics was always the last thought and never really considered that important, or you'd grab the basics that go with a free SDK, things like Firebase or Google Analytics, for example. But nowadays, iOS applications have become a lot more complex, and you want to have some insight on what your app is doing on the end user's device. With this purpose, Apple has introduced MetricKit, because Apple has always provided some level of reporting via App Store Connect, but the level of detail there was very small, and even down in the API layer, it was difficult to grab that information. So in 2019, Apple announced MetricKit, a brand new framework written in Swift that provides a brand new API that would provide out-of-the-box reporting linked directly inside your Xcode organizer. But even more important, they provided all this raw data in JSON or dictionary format, so you can upload it directly to digest and display in real time. By default, MetricKit already provides some metrics on your application, but if you want to have more insightful metrics that are specific to your use case, MetricKit also has an API that allows you to create customized metrics. So in his article, Adam goes over how you initialize MetricKit at the basic level, and then how you can use MetricKit to provide more insight in what's happening within your application. So these are called custom metrics. So in the article, you get an overview of what MetricKit is, what it can provide you, and how you could use it in your own use case. MetricKit is a great way to access existing vital bits of information so you can better support your users and understand the smallest bits of detail so you can keep on improving in your app. So with MetricKit, Apple has provided a nice addition to your tools to be able to get some more insight in what's happening in your app. The final article is by Tibor Bodej. It's an article on the future of server-side Swift, so what's going to happen with Swift on the server in 2022. Distributed actors, Vapor 5, some predictions and wishes. In this article, Tibor goes over the new improvements in Swift 5.5 and what they could mean for server-side Swift. Also, he looks a little bit ahead on Vapor 5 and what kind of changes Vapor 5 could be getting in the near future. Next to that, he has some reflections on his open source project Feather CMS, which is a very nice type-safe modular CMS written entirely in Swift by Tibor himself, that you should definitely check out. And he thinks about what he can be doing to Feather CMS with these new language features in 2022. I like that Tibor is indicating that Feather CMS is approaching a sort of like a feature complete state. And I think it will be a very interesting project to use in the future when you are creating server-side Swift content. Tibor also has some grand goals for server-side Swift on M1 hardware in the future. So he really hopes that he is able to look back in 10 years from now at this current period of time as the beginning of server-side Swift. But who knows? We'll have to see. I also wanted to mention a couple of conferences. Those are iOS Conf SG happening at January 17th, 18th, 20th, and 21st. It's a Singapore conference, so most likely it can be at a bit odd hours, but they will be providing recordings of their talks. But definitely check out their schedule. There's an amazing lineup of speakers there. Yeah, so just check them out. iosconf.sg. They still have tickets available. The next conference I wanted to mention is Swift Heroes. They haven't officially announced their exact dates yet of the conference, but they are very active in creating their call for papers and selecting talks for their conference. So have a look at, I think it's called Sessionize, because they have their call for papers there. I will make sure to put a link in the show notes. And also check out swiftheroes.com. And finally, there's one conference I'm keeping an eye on as well, and that's 360 iDev. That's going to be happening at the end of August in 2022, if world circumstances permit. And looking forward to when they announce their CFP, when they start announcing speakers. But their tickets are already available, so definitely check it out. And then finally, there's one more thing I wanted to mention, and that's Donny's Monday morning tweet. Donny hopes everybody had a nice weekend that you're ready for the second week of 2022. He's asking what your plans are. Are you learning something new, working on something cool, shipping something? Let him know. So, of course, first response is again by Leo Gideon. He released an episode with Mufasa YC. That's the creator of the Tasks app. He's working on an Objective-C blog post. And he's creating an iPhone app for HardSwitch. He's working on Swift package for MailChimp. And he is editing an episode with Michael Tigas. Daniel Steinberg is preparing a talk for iOS Conf SG. So he's working on his music app. He can build stations, but now he has to play them. And he's updating his breadbook. Michael Tigas is lining up his ducks so he can reveal an indie app number 2 this week. And he spent a little bit of time creating different app icons and deciding on a particular one that he wants to use for his new app. Toke is picking up Swift UI again after a break, trying to figure out something basic, how to draw a grid of characters that the user can input on. Tibor is planning on finishing his book update. That's Practical Server-Side Swift. You can get this book at theswiftdev.gumroad.com. And Christian Kosorowski is doing a free coding class in elementary schools in his neighborhood in Lodz. And there's like a ton of pictures of young kids getting their first exposure to software development with the help of Christian. Awesome work, dude. And Johan is telling us that he's reading about the virtualization frameworks on M1 Max, how you can create virtual machines and such. And maybe after work, he'll get some time to get stuff up and running. So that would be very cool if you can find the time. Denise Nepraunig is trying her best with Affinity Designer, Vector and Pixel Graphics to create some wallpapers for iOS developers. It's still a long way to go, but she has a first draft that she wanted to share. And it's a nice purple gradient shape image with the Swift birds flying around in them. So it looks quite nice, actually. And Darko is deep diving into Swift concurrency, and he's asking Donny if it's maybe an idea for a new book. And Donny replies that it's definitely been an idea, and that has been floating around in his head for a while now. And Bobby Bobak is making coffee and testing it with his new Filtru app features ahead of the launch of it, and he's really enjoying it. The developer wanted to brush up on his Python skills, but just because of office work and freelancing work, he does not have time to do so. Val Vincent is learning Swift UI so he can make his own apps and change careers. Halil is mentioning that the new version of Gasom.com is ready and it's finally time to start promoting it. Flow Writes Code mentions that last week he took off a couple of days, but he did work on Blacksmith, a package that brings Forge, his marketing image generator app, and to Xcode, allowing to automatically generate marketing images or App Store screenshots for every build. Dominic Roddle has an interview scheduled in 2 hours from when he posted his message, and he's getting ready for that. He's really going over the basics and realizing how much of the fundamentals he has forgotten. Francois is mentioning that Indie App Center has ended, so he can focus on his other projects again, starting with Trilandar, an iOS app to watch alcohol consumption that ties into the Tri-January thing that a lot of people do after the December month. Samishi Taufa is planning this week to finish the Sean Allen Dev iOS Dev Launchpad course and also doing some challenges with each lesson so that he learns a lot more by actually doing things. So a lot of people are doing a lot of things actually. You can really notice that the holidays are over. People are getting back into things again. Last week it was just starting up, and this week it's like going at it full force again, refreshed with some time off and with great ideas, because people actually had some time off, because the thing with ideas is they always happen when you're not doing anything really. So make sure to rest well and do some other things besides only sitting at your computer, because that allows you to have the best ideas and to enjoy the fruits of your labor as much as possible. So have a great week and talk to you again next week. If you have any feedback on my episode, please let me know at AppForce1. Also, I'm looking for guests for my podcast. Please reach out on Twitter DM. I really need a few people again to be a guest on my podcast. So if you feel inclined to do so, if you're interested, send me a DM on Twitter at AppForce1. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.